This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, delighted to be with you, happy that the Lord has given us this day to come together in the name of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to talk about issues of importance to our life and to our faith. Always invite you to call us right here at the beginning of the program, because we like to see those calls coming in and to make use of those lines that we have available. We've got 6 lines for you, so let's try to fill those up. And let me share with you the numbers to use. Toll-free for you right here in North America is this one. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Just pick up the phone, give us a call. We're looking forward to hearing from you, and so is Charles Beery, who is our call screener. Give him a buzz. Be sure to say howdy hey to him when you call in. And if you're a first-time caller, please let him know, because I like to ring my bell to welcome you. It's a virtual bell today. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling is the way that it sounds. So if you give us a call, I'll be sure to give you a little ding-a-ling there. How's that sound? In addition to that, we're available to you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Simply use the chat feature. Put your name in there and where you're calling from, but also your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement. And Jeff Burson, who is our producer and social media manager, will grab it and put it up on the board for me. If you're a first-time submitter, let Jeff know in your little message there, and I will ring that same welcome bell for you virtually. We just do enjoy having you with us right here on Women of Grace Live, Monday through Friday. And as I say, you know, we live in contentious times, but God has a resolution. He's got an answer. The answer is His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And the way in which we achieve that answer is by entering into relationship with Him and living according to His plan and His mission for us. And that's what makes up the truths of the faith. And that's what gives us the holy conversation that we love to have right here on Women of Grace Live. Do want to remind you about a couple of things that are coming up. We've always got stuff going on, and it makes me so excited about it, and I love to present it to you. Womenofgrace.com is our website. It's all listed for you there underneath the little section called Upcoming Events, which is right on our homepage, about halfway down on the left side of that page. In addition to that, be sure to be attentive to what you see in the slideshow presentation there, because most typically we're giving you information about things that we do, about things that are upcoming, about ways in which you can participate, all kinds of good information in that little slideshow. You're going to see that right there at the very beginning, as soon as you come onto the site, we're telling you about our most, next upcoming event. How's that? Our most next upcoming event. That doesn't sound very good, does it? Nonetheless, it's the one that's coming up next. How's that? And that is a beautiful, beautiful two-part webinar. It's going to be held June 1st and June 2nd in the evening from 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Our presenter is Colin Donovan. He is Vice President of Theology for EWTN. You hear him every Friday on Open Line, which is heard right there on EWTN Radio at 3 p.m. Eastern. And Colin is the host for the Friday program. And if you listen at all, you know the breadth and the length of the information and the teaching that he gives to us, the way in which he can just dip into all of this theological understanding to answer questions that are had. And he is going to be presenting to us on a really exciting topic. I'm very, very thrilled about this topic. It's one that many people are thinking about today, and many questions come to us at Women of Grace about this topic. So we're happy to have this two-part webinar with Colin, where he can delve into it and give us, you know, a lot of good insight, information, and teaching on it, and also be able to entertain your questions. That's one of the benefits of these webinars. We do have time for questions and answers. So you'll be able to participate if you're able to be there June 1st or June 2nd. Now, I do want to tell you, though, I understand what life is like today, and our schedules are very busy, and things are hectic, and it's like, oh, gee, was it? I can make one of those nights, but not in both of those nights. Or gee, both of those nights are not good for me. Well, don't worry about that, because if you sign up and register, you will get a playback link. Everybody who signs up and registers gets a playback link so that they can re-watch that presentation or watch it for the first time if they weren't able to be live on those evenings. And you can do it at your leisure. So I do invite you, do not let, you know, your schedule interfere with your opportunity, because we're making the opportunity available to you even after the event through the playback link. So do get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. Click on either the slideshow or the listing there under upcoming events. It'll take you to a landing page and it'll tell you all about it. I've been sharing with you about it all week. I'm going to continue to share with you about it, but I really want for you to sign up. It's going to be fantastic and ever so insightful. And you'll be able to answer questions that people might have that they ask you about. Well, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? Well, you're going to have some really solid information, solid teaching to be able to stand on to answer those questions and really to evaluate a lot of the different messages that come to you through blogs and through posts and, you know, through the mystics, you know, the mystics and the saints. You'll be able to evaluate all of that according to what Holy Mother Church teaches us about these things. What is the topic? Is this the end of the world as we know it? Signs and considerations from a Catholic perspective. A Benedicta enrichment webinar with Colin Donovan, June 1st and 2nd, 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. But as I say, the playback link available for you. So what are you going to learn about? Well, a bunch of things. What do we as Catholics believe about the end times? How's that for a question? What do the saints and mystics tell us about the end times? Are we in the end times? What would the signs be? And how do we prepare if we are? How do we separate fact from fiction or conjecture from authentic prophecy? True mystical revelation from its counterfeit? Those are really important questions to have good, solid Catholic answers for. Because there's a lot out there today. It's telling us all kinds of different things. We need to be able to separate the fact from the fiction, someone's conjecture from authentic prophecy, and what is authentic prophecy anyway? True mystical revelation from its counterfeit? Counterfeit revelations? Yeah. What's the difference? How do we know? Here's another question. What is the final tribulation? Will there be an illumination of conscience? And what is the ultimate destiny of man and the world? You can tell how fascinating this is going to be, so you're not going to want to miss it. So I'm encouraging you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com, you know, to click on the slideshow info about it or the upcoming event info about it, take you to a landing page. You'll be able to read all about it out there, and you'll actually be able to register, and that's what we want you to do. We want you to register and to join us for this beautiful, beautiful opportunity. We're also going to be in South Florida. Looking forward to that. We're going to be at Heart of Jesus Catholic Church in downtown Fort Lauderdale to celebrate the Feast of the Sacred Heart. Now, that should tell you when we're going to be there. We're going to be there June 11th, and this is going to be a beautiful day, and I'm hoping that all of you on the East Coast who are listening right now come and join us at Heart of Jesus Catholic Church, and it is going to begin on June 11th at noon with a procession of the Blessed Sacrament, followed by the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, a luncheon at 1:30, and then at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the presentation that I will be delivering, Journeying into Love, the Hearts of Jesus and Mary, and I am so looking forward to talking about that topic. I certainly am already. God is filling my mind and my heart with beautiful things to share with you about His love coming to us through the heart of Jesus and Mary. We're coming right back to you, 833-288-EWTN. Pick up the phone, give us a call. Stay tuned.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, everybody, from the break. And we're inviting you to give us a call today. Number to use, toll-free for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3988. 86. If you're outside of North America, here's a number for you. It begins with a country code. You can use this number if you're in Birmingham area too, by the way. It's country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. 8-5. Also available for you out there in social media land, we're inviting you to go to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature there, get your info up, and golly gee, we're going to take your question or your comment, your insight, your inspiration, or your word of encouragement. Jeff Burson's the guy that's going to do that. Yep, he's our social media manager and our producer. Charles Beery is on the phones today doing a marvelous job. He's our call screener. So we invite you to call in or to communicate to us through social media. We additionally invite you to tell us if you're a first timer to the program, and I will ring-a-ling-ling my virtual bell for you. Guess what? Today is the birthday of St. John Paul II, and we want to remember this great saint, and we want to ask for his prayerful intercession because we need it, and I don't know how it works in the heavenly realm, but we know here on earth that, you know, when it's your birthday, you know, you generally have a really good chance of getting what you ask for. So I think it might work that way in the heavenly realm too. And you just might ask St. John Paul II to intercede for you for a very special need that you have in your life. And we are interested in your special needs, and we invite you to call us and let us know about them. And we'll pray for you right on the air. We have Mari holding for us, and we're going to go to Mari in just a moment. So I'm going to ask you to hold for a moment, Mari, and we're going to be praying with her. All kinds of ways in which we come together as the mystical body of Christ through Catholic Radio, and it makes me happy. But before we get to Mari, and before we get to your question or comment, I want to just share a little inspiration piece with you today. We've been doing this in May as a beautiful, what do I want to say, moments of recollection and reflection on the great gift that is ours through the Blessed Virgin Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I've got like a two-parter on this one. So I want you to listen up. First of all, I'm going to ask you, after we are off the air, to open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to read a portion of it to you, and then I'm going to make a comment about that portion, and then what we're going to do is to dip into True Devotion to Mary and just take a little line there from what St. Louis de Montfort shares, because this is very important to us, and it really reminds me a lot of the topic that we'll be hearing about when we come together for the webinar with Colin Donovan on June 1st and June 2nd. It has to do with the realities of the day and time in which we are living. And so if we go to Revelation 12, this is a very important chapter. And we almost have to look at the verse that precedes it, which is in chapter 11, verse 19. And this is a moment when God is going to give a test to all of the angels. And so he reveals his plan to them. And we read about that revelation in chapter 11, verse 19 of the book by that name. It says this: "Then God's temple in heaven opened, and in the temple could be seen the ark of his covenant. There were flashes of lightning and peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a violent hailstorm." Well, we know about the ark of the covenant from the Old Testament, right? And we know that this ark of the covenant accompanied the Israelites on their journey from Egypt into the promised land. We know that it was very specifically designed, that God had, great intentionality with the way in which this was meant to be built, because in the ark was going to be contained the Ten Commandments, the rod of Aaron, and the bread from the desert, manna, right? So that was all in there. So when we hear this, you know, that God's temple in heaven opened and in the temple could be seen the ark of his covenant, we may well have that ark of the covenant in mind. But that Ark of the Covenant is really a prefigurement of the Ark of the Covenant, the one who would contain within herself the fulfillment of the bread, the manna, a fulfillment of the rod of Aaron, and a fulfillment of the Ten Commandments. And this is what the angels see. So they look at this, and this is the Ark of the Covenant. St. John is telling us this. He's seeing this as a mystical revelation while he's in exile on the island of Patmos. But then in chapter 12, we hear exactly what they saw. This is what we read: "A great sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. Because she was with child, she wailed aloud in pain, and she labored to give birth. Then another sign appeared in the sky. It was a huge dragon, flaming red, with 7 heads and 10 horns. On his heads were 7 diadems. His tail swept a third of the stars from the sky and hurled them down to the earth. Then the dragon stood before the woman about to give birth, ready to to devour her child when it should be born. She gave birth to a son, a boy destined to shepherd all the nations with an iron rod. Do you hear that? Her child was caught up to God and to his throne. The woman herself fled into the desert where a special place had been prepared for her by God. There she was taken care of for 1260 days. So we're getting some further insight about this woman and her child, but they see this image of the woman and they begin to perceive that God is going to bring his son into the world. The world, the word will be made flesh and will dwell among God's creatures, human persons that he will create. And this son is going to come by way of the woman. And we know what happened. You know, this third of the stars that are hurled out of heaven, you know, what are those stars? Those are the angels that were hurled out of heaven along with Lucifer, who staged an uprising, who could not withstand the test because his pride was too great. In verse 7, we read about that. It says, then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels battled against the dragon. Although the dragon and his angels fought back, they were overpowered and lost their place in heaven. The huge dragon, the ancient serpent, known as the devil or Satan, the seducer of the whole world, was driven out. He was hurled down to earth and his minions with him. And so then we hear a whole lot in verses 10 through 12. You can read that on your own. But then at verse 13, it says this, when the dragon saw that he had been cast down to the earth, he pursued the woman. Note that article there, the. It's not just any old woman. It's a very particular woman. He pursued the woman who had given birth to the boy, but the woman was given the wings of a gigantic eagle so that she could fly off to her place in the desert, where far from the serpent she could be taken care of for a year and for 2.5 years more. The serpent, however, spewed a torrent of water out of his mouth to search out the woman and sweep her away. The earth then came to the woman's rescue by opening its mouth and swallowing the flood which the dragon spewed out of his mouth, enraged at her escape. Now here is an interesting verse. This is the verse I want you to hear. Pay attention. Listen up here. This is chapter 12, verse 17. Enraged at her escape, enraged that basically the dragon could not defeat the woman, that the woman is under a protection of God, right? Enraged at her escape, the dragon went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep God's commandments and give witness to Jesus. He took up his position by the shore of the sea. Now, we say, well, wait a second. If that woman is who the church teaches that woman is, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and if this is telling us something about the enmities that exist between the woman and the devil, which God will prophesy about in Genesis 3, verse 15, what about these offspring of the woman? Who are these? Because Mary was ever virgin. She only gave birth to one child, and that child conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. She only gave birth to the Word made flesh, to Jesus Christ, the God-man, hypostatic union, true God, true man. That's the only one who came from her body. So who are these other offspring? The other offspring are the ones that caused the labor and the pain in Our Lady. Our Lord was not born by natural means. The fathers of the church tell us that it was a special delivery of our Lord, that the woman's virginity was perpetual, and neither the conception nor the birth of Jesus disturbed her virginal integrity. But Our Lady did labor. She labored at the foot of the cross, whereby she became the mother of each one of us. She experienced the pain and the suffering of her son and gave birth to all of those who form his body. And that's what verse 17 means. Listen to it again with that understanding. Enraged at her escape, the dragon went off to make war on the rest of her offspring, on those who keep God's commandments and give witness to Jesus. He took up his position by the shore of the sea. Now, those offspring, the ones who keep God's commandments and give witness to Jesus. Those ones are going to be pursued by the enemy because he cannot touch the woman. And in paragraph 53 of True Devotion to Mary, St. Louis de Montfort says, "What Lucifer has lost by pride, Mary has gained by humility. What Eve has damned and lost by disobedience, Mary has saved by obedience. Eve, in obeying the serpent, has destroyed all her children together with herself and has delivered them to him. Mary, in being perfectly faithful to God, has saved all her children and servants together with herself and has consecrated them to his majesty." Paragraph 54. God has not only set an enmity, but enmities, not simply between Mary and the devil, but between the race of the Holy Virgin and the race of the devil. That is to say, God has set enmities, antipathies, and secret hatreds between the two true children and servants of Mary and the children and slaves of the devil. They have no love for each other. They have no sympathy for each other. But then it goes on and it says, "But the power of Mary over all the devils will especially shine forth in the latter times, when Satan will lay his snares against her heel, that is to say, her humble slaves and her poor children, whom she will raise up to make war against them. They shall be little and poor in the world's esteem and abased before all, like the heel, trodden underfoot and persecuted as the heel is by the other members of the body. But in return for this, they shall be rich in the grace of God, which Mary shall distribute to them abundantly. They shall be great and exalted before God in sanctity, superior to all other creatures by their lively zeal, and so well sustained with God's assistance that, with the humility of their heel, in union with Mary, they shall crush the head of the devil and cause Jesus Christ to triumph." Isn't that fascinating? And that, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, is who you are called to be. That is who God is seeking to establish as those who keep God's commandments and give witness to Jesus Christ at this moment in the history of man. So you have a very important mission. We all have a very important mission at this moment. And it's only going to come by way of our fiat that we give in union with Our Lady's fiat. And so no matter what our difficulty is, no matter what our trial is, no matter what our travail is, no matter what is happening in our life, no matter the reversals we experience, our call is to do everything for Jesus Christ and his triumph through the immaculate and holy spiritual maternity of Our Blessed Lady. And it's a marvelous thing, a tremendously marvelous thing. Now, it's one of the things that I most enjoy about the teachings of our Catholic faith, that our Catholic faith helps us to understand Mary's role in salvation, that we might be the great beneficiaries of all of the graces that God longs to distribute upon us by way of her. So I'm going to ask you a question. What is your favorite teaching of the Church about Our Lady or about anything else? What teaching of the Church has had the most impact on you in your life? I've just shared with you about mine, a great impact on me. What truth of the faith has really ministered to you the most, impacting your life of union with our Lord? Love to hear about it here. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us right here on Women of Grace Live. Well, we do love to have holy conversation with you. We have Mari with us. She's in Houston, Texas. Guadalupe Radio Network is how she's listening. And Mari is a first-time caller. And ding-a-ling-a-ling, welcome. Do you hear that? Thank you, Jeff. Would you do that again? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Jeff is making a bell ring right there in the studio for you, Mari. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Janet. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. And you, tell us about you, Mari.
So I'm a first-time caller. I've been listening to the show for about 2.5 weeks, and I was just calling in to say hello. And I know I look forward every day to listening, you know, to your voice, listening to the show. And I wanted to call to ask for prayers. You know, I've been going through, you know, through some difficult moments, I guess. I was diagnosed with cancer a few months ago. I've had my surgery and my treatment. I'm set to go back to work in about 2 weeks. And, you know, I'm a little nervous. I'm scared. And, you know, I have days where I feel okay. Others, you know, not so much. But, you know, staying strong in my faith and continuing to pray every day.
Oh, Mari. You know, these moments when we get these terrible diagnoses are frightening, to be sure. There's no question about it. There's a part of ourselves that immediately responds through a natural fear, you know, because something is there that ought not to be there, and it brings with it a lot of worry and a lot of concern. But greater than all of that, we also know that our Lord is with us and that He never abandons us, and He is especially close to us in these great moments of trial and these great moments of struggle. Would you mind sharing with us what kind of cancer it is that you have?
It's a thyroid.
Okay. All right. And so did they remove your thyroid or?
Yes, they had to remove it, and I had my my treatment already, and you know, like you said, I know that you know, God and Our Lady have been there for me,
sure.
Jonna, this entire process, and I know they're watching over me and watching over my family during this time, and
yeah.
You know, I try to think about that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going
to ask
about
that when.
Yeah. We're at the bottom of the hour and we have to take a break at the bottom of the hour. I'm going to ask you to stay because we want to pray with you. I want to pray with you and our listeners want to pray with you. So you hold tight. We're coming right back to you. Friends, 833-288-EWTN is the way that you can join us today. Looking forward to hearing from you. Coming right back. Stay tuned.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, everybody. We are so happy that you are with us today. We're inviting you to give us a call. What's on your mind today? I threw a question out for you there. You know, what truth of the faith has impacted your life the most? We'd love to hear from you on that or anything else that's going on in your life. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Just pick up the phone and give us a call. Say hi to Charles Beery when you call in. He's call screening for us today. Let him know if you're a first-time caller. We'll ring our bell for you. In addition to that, go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can use the chat feature there to put your question or comment in. Jeff Burson, who is our producer and social media manager, will grab it and get it up on the board. We certainly do welcome to receive your phone calls and your submissions, and that's what makes the program go on here. We've got Mari on the phone with us, and she's in Houston. Mari's a first-time caller, and she's asking for our prayers today. She was diagnosed with cancer, thyroid cancer. She's had the surgery for it. She's gone through the treatment. She's scheduled to go back to work in about 2.5 weeks. She's a little nervous about that. We can well understand. And we were talking prior to the break about the fact that when these unexpected diagnoses come and they're the kind that Mari has received, you know, there is a natural fear that sets in. But God never abandons us nor leaves us orphaned. And Mari was telling us that she has been very close to our Lord during this time, very close to Our Lady. We have no doubt that both Our Lord and Our Lady have been very close to Mari. And so, Mari, here you are, and you're preparing to move forward in your life. And that can be a very big step, right? And so there is a natural tendency to draw back from that and to be concerned, especially in the environment that we're in today with so much that's going on in terms of COVID and that. But we're just going to pray now. And you have a family. You have children, from what I understand, just based on what you said earlier, right?
No, Jenna, no children.
No children, okay.
But, you know, just my parents and my siblings, you know, this has been really hard on all of us. And, you know, I know that, you know, My mom, I'm extremely close to her, and this has been hard for her too. And you know, I know that you know she's been praying for me, and you know, I pray for my mom every day. So, yeah. Again, if you guys can also, you know, just keep all of them, and you know, and in the prayers there, I would really appreciate it. My husband, you know, this has been hard on him, but you know, he's my rock, and he's been there with me the entire way.
That's beautiful. Well, let's just come together now, Mari, and we ask all of you, our listeners, too. We want to pray for Mari in this moment, and we know how powerful our prayers are when we come together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that we come together today, and we stand before you, Father God, and we lift up to you your daughter, Mari, and you have made her so exquisitely, Lord. Everything about her has been planned from you. And you desire that she experience that abundance of life that comes to us through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it is, Father, that we ask that all of the treatments that Mari has received, the surgery, all of this has been effective in wiping this cancer out of her body completely and totally. We ask that through the power of the Holy Spirit, healing would enter into every aspect of her being. And I mean every aspect of her being, Lord. We're asking that that flood of divine life that comes by way of the Holy Spirit would move through her body, taking care of any residual effects of this cancer, bringing wholeness and completion to those parts of her body that have been affected. We ask that your healing power would be a purifying agent within her body, that any cancer cells that would seek to linger around would be washed away by this flood of divine life that pours into her right now. We ask, Father, that your healing power would enter into Mari's heart, and by this I mean the innermost confines of her being, and into her soul, into her mind, into her thinking process, that no vestiges of the evil one would remain. And by this I mean, Father, any way in which the evil one would raise doubt or discouragement, disbelief. He loves those three D's, Lord. And we hate them because they're not of you. And so we would ask that any doubt, any disbelief, any deceitful word, any discouragement that he would seek to bring to Mari would be stopped by her guardian angel, and by special angels that you will send to her to be a mighty force against the tactics and strategies of the devil. We ask, Father God, that in its stead, instead of all of this, that she would experience the fruits of the Holy Spirit, peace and joy and love and long-suffering and modesty. And by that modesty, we mean humility, Lord. That she would experience this overwhelming presence of life that you want her to know. Physical life, yes, but spiritual life as well. Along with Mari, we lift up her husband, this good man, this Saint Joseph that you have entrusted to her and to whom you have entrusted Mari, that he might continue to be that rock in her life, that protector, that provider, that leader, that anchor that holds her fast in you, Lord, because that's the protection and the provision and the leadership that women need to be held firm in all that you are about in us and through us. We ask that you bless him and that you continue to give him courage and continue to give him strength. And I ask you, Saint Joseph, to pray for this man in a most particular way. We pray also for Mari's extended family. We ask that you care for that family that raised her father, her mother, her siblings. We ask that any way in which the evil one would seek to lead them to a concern that is boundless, you know, that morbid worry, that any of that now would be taken care of. Again, that these angels that you're sending to Mari would thwart the efforts of the evil one, that he might hurl at all of those whom she loves and are within her circle. And now, just using that image of a circle, Mother, I would ask that you would encircle your daughter, Mari, in your mantle, that you would wrap her up in it and hold her close to your most immaculate heart, and that she might draw from that heart the perfectly motherly consolation, the one that is the genesis of all maternal consolation, the one whose consolation was there at the foot of the cross as our Lord hung there dying for us. And, you know, Mari, I really just see you being held by Our Lady. Her mantle's around you and she's drawing you close and your head is against her breast and mystically she's taking you into that heart. And in those moments when, you know, the evil one tries to confound the work that God is about in you and tries to do that through discouragement, because God does not want you to be discouraged. He doesn't want you to worry. When the evil one tries to confound that work of the Spirit in you, just envision yourself wrapped in Our Lady's mantle, being held close to her heart, your head against her, and Our Lady opening up the door to those chambers in her heart where she wants you to come and receive from her that same benefaction that our Lord Jesus Christ received from her, you see, because that's how much she loves you. And we just read from sacred scripture, the evil one, you know, his head is crushed by the heel of Our Lady and by us when we stand in union with her. And that's the way that your act of the will be that crushing agent, but it will be Our Lady's heel operating through you that will smite his head and set you free from whatever it is he seeks to rob you of. And so this is your safe haven. This is your surety, honey. And just feel
thank
that warmth
so.
Of Our Lady. You're welcome. And so, Father, it is now that we offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. By the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, whom we've just invoked, and through the maternal beatitude and loving intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Donette. Thank you for your words. And I'd like to thank everyone for their prayers and may God bless you and everyone that's listening in to the show.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you, Mari. And you keep praying for us. And, baby, you know we're praying for you, okay?
Definitely. You have a great day.
You too. And keep us informed, okay?
I definitely will, sure.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye, Mari. Bye-bye. Oh, our God is so good. I'm telling you, he's just so good. He cannot be outdone in generosity, and we have to remember that. And we're really put to the test, just like I mentioned about the angels, right? You know, our faith, our fidelity, our love of him is put to the test in moments like this. You know, it isn't that God wants, he's looking to see if we're going to pass or fail. You know, but what he's looking to do is to work wonders out of these kinds of moments when these virtues are really increased within us, right? And Virginia has a beautiful story to share with us. She's calling from Long Beach, California this morning. She is with us via YouTube. Good morning, Virginia.
Awesome, Jeanette. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Praise be to God. How are you?
Good. And you know, I absolutely needed to hear that very long but very beautiful prayer that you set up for, was it Maori?
Mari, M-A-R-I, yes.
Sure, Mari. That was so awesome. I believe that you were asking, you were making a call out to see what was one of our pivotal points in our faith that really changed things.
Yes.
And I would say that a mañanitas with Our Lady of Guadalupe one night changed my physical foot. It's been a lot of pain. This was years and years ago, maybe 10, 15 years ago, that I had this horrible pain. And I was told by doctors that I would need to have some operation or something. And I was walking kind of weird, but my foot would swell up. Just all sorts of misfiring of the neurons going into the foot. I'm a biologist, so we love to use our little words, right? But anyway, the point being is, love, is that my foot was in hell. Basically, we're at the River Styx with the dogs barking.
Okay? Oh, my goodness.
And it hurt. I'm sorry for those details, but it really hurt, and it would just mummify the rest of my day when the pain started in. So I thought, you know, why not go to the Mañanitas? I never have. It's a wonderful thing to do. I'll hear other people praying, and I will just keep praying and praying. So I went to a Mañanitas in December. I believe it's San Diego's, the day before Juan Diego's Saint Day or something like that. Anyway, I did go. And with hot cocoa in my thermos and everything, all that good stuff, and wrapped up, and praying and praying as sincerely as I knew how. You know, just quiet, good prayer, and then listening to some of the music. And I remember a testimonial of a mother and father that held up their little baby high.
Yes.
And said, we're going to get the money for the operation. We've had a very bad sickness. The sickness is over, but we still have the cleft palate, that kind of thing, you know?
Yes.
And they had gotten money for the operation. They held that baby up, and there was singing that night. And in that particular community that I was in, they literally made a mountain. I'm talking about up to 8 feet high, but, you know, on a pallet and with a brace of roses. And then our artistic environment person had put crinkled brown paper to look like the mountain.
Yes.
That, what was it, El Tepeyac?
Yes, that
he went up, that Diego went up. Yeah, you know better than I. Anyway, though, that was such a moving night. I am actually going through something pretty miserable right now in that trying to resuscitate a bit my teaching career and getting some roadblocks, but I found a beautiful job with a lovely corporation, and they're giving me some work right out of my dining room study. How about that?
Wow.
That's about as good as it gets, right?
Very good.
And that they just cut out job of teaching.
So, Virginia, what's happening is your phone is breaking up on us. And so I'm not catching everything that you're saying. But the last bit that I got there was that, you know, you were trying to resuscitate your teaching career, and you've just gotten this opportunity through a corporation, which is very good news. But I think that if I'm reading correctly, that you received from this intercession of Our Lady of Guadalupe and being at this particular prayer event, you received, you know, a miraculous healing, that at least you can walk now and you didn't need an operation. And we praise and we thank God for that. And I thank you for calling in to share that with us, because I think it just testifies to the fact that when we come together and we pray and we have confidence in God, you know, trust in Him, acknowledging that He can work miracles and that He does work miracles, right? Then, in fact, we open ourselves up to all that He wants to do within us. Sometimes, you know, our trust in Him is very weak. Sometimes we can't even begin to acknowledge the fact that, yeah, well, maybe He works miracles in Virginia's life, but will He work a miracle in my life? You know, and we think, well, I'm not good enough for that. Now, you know, I sinned like this, you know, 5 years ago. Whatever the case is, the evil one is always going to try to dash our confidence and our trust in God. But confidence and trust in God is not not something that lives in the emotions. It's nice when our emotions feel that, but that's not where it lives. It lives in the will. And so how is it then that we display this trust and confidence in God? It's through doing it, right? It's through trusting in Him, even when we don't even feel like trust, but saying, nonetheless, I choose to trust in God. It becomes an action, an act of the will. The same with confidence. I don't feel any confidence right now. I feel nothing. I feel as though all is lost, but nonetheless, I profess confidence and I am going to move in the confidence of God. Now, it's not our movement that makes the confidence happen or that makes God act, but it really is what opens up our capacity to receive from Him, because we are not standing in the doubt that the evil one would want to inflict upon us. We're not standing in the discouragement and the disbelief that the evil one wants to use to work against us, right? So this is a spiritual reality that can be affected in our lives. I mean, I think this is the stuff that made the saints great saints. I don't think that they always felt really giddy when they were standing in front of a firing squad or they were about to enter into the Roman Colosseum, you know? No, I don't know what they felt, but I'm thinking that they might have had a little natural fear working there, but they didn't act out of that just because they might not have felt all giddy inside. And maybe some of them did. I don't know. It seems to me that God would come with a special grace then. But all of that being said, they pushed through, and we push through acts of the will. And so, Virginia, you were there. You trusted in God. You made an act of trust, and healing came. So, all I'm saying to you, friends, is that you don't make God operate, but we make ourselves available for the operation of God. And one of the ways in which we do that is by choosing to believe, choosing to trust. I just want to go to some of what has come into us through YouTube here. I don't want to ignore it. Peggy out there in YouTube. Jeanette, please pray for healing for me. I just found out my rotator cuff surgery I had 4 months ago needs to be redone. Oh, I'm sure that's disappointing. Starting over from square one with surgery and physical therapy. Thank you. And so, Father God, we do lift Peggy up to you. You know every aspect of what is in that place in her body. You know precisely what needs to take place in order for this rotator cuff to be healed. Father, we're going to ask for a miraculous intervention because you tell us to. And so we do ask that surgery isn't even going to be necessary because you are going to heal her. We ask that this happen, Lord God, by way of the power of the Holy Spirit, that even now this is being affected within her, that you are bringing together, sinew and bone, you are bringing together everything, cartilage, whatever makes up that part of our body, you are in the process of healing and restoration, that you are taking care of nerve endings, that everything is coming together, Lord. We pray this. Now, Father God, if it be your will that you work through the surgery, then we would ask that this surgery would be successful, that the doctors would be able to identify what went wrong so that it doesn't happen again. We pray, Father God, that your daughter would be given the courage to face that which she must face. We ask that you give her the certitude of belief that you are with her in all things and you affect all things for the good. We ask, Father God, that you would take away from her any fear, any discouragement, anything that would render her less capable of being able to see the blessings that you're already bestowing upon her. And, I get a little word here for you, Peggy, and this word is going to be easy for you to remember because it uses the same letter as the first letter of your name. I just sense that you need to praise and thank the Lord for all things. Just to praise Him and thank Him. Praise Him for His wonders. Praise Him for His power. Praise Him for His love. Praise Him for the fact that He is the God of the impossible. Praise Him and thank Him because this God of ours is worthy of praise. But praise, though He doesn't need it, praise is something that we need. And it builds up our confidence. It builds up our strength. It builds up our trust. So I offer this prayer to you, Father, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of his cross, the merits of his cross, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the maternal beatitude and intercession of Our Lady. And Anna Marie, perfect way to end out there on YouTube. She says, remember, Pope John Paul II said, be not afraid, right? So let's make that our motto today as we celebrate the birthday of St. John Paul II. Don't forget, ask him for his intercession. We ask for your intercession for all of those for whom we've prayed. St. John Paul II. May God be with all of us today and every day until we're together again. May he bless you. Bye-bye now.